Hi, good to see everybody here. Nice to see all those smiling faces, even though you got a mask on. Yeah, you got a smiling face, I know that. So we're glad to see everybody. The title of the lesson today is called Bearing Burdens. And the question is, whose responsibility is it? And so we're going to look at that. See, we all know people who are down on themselves. Yes, they carry their own burdens. And we know people who are sorrowful. And different factors play into that. And we know people who are seemingly overwhelmed with problems. Some people just can't shake their problems, it seems like. And they always seem to be piling on all the time. And we know people who are on the edge of personal destruction. And a lot of people are that way. You know, with the pandemic and everything, a lot of people are just very frazzled. And there's a lot of stuff going on, and they don't talk about it much, but did you know suicides were up? I mean, they are. I mean, that's just, people have gotten just kind of whacked out about this. And they're all on edge. And so all of us in some way are on edge, because of different factors. What we need to realize is these people are hurting. They're hurting. Sometimes they may not even know they're hurting. And that's the problem. They might be going through all these problems, but yet they're dealing with it one at a time, and they don't realize, I've got a lot of problems. And so these people are hurting, and we are supposed to help them. Now, how's that going to happen? See, in Galatians 6, 1 through 5, it reads, Brethren, even if a man be overtaken in any trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let each man prove his own work, and then shall he have his glorying in regard of himself alone, and not of his neighbors. For each man shall bear his own burden. All right, those underlined passages, bear ye one another's burdens, each man shall bear his own burden. Now, is there a conflict in this text about who is responsible to bear burdens? Well, the answer is no. Verse 2 says, Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, and then for each man shall bear his own burden. See, they're both correct as we take them in the context where they were said. The context will provide us with an understanding of how we must both bear the burdens of others as well as bearing our own individual burdens. And we might be able to understand it this way. We know this country is in tremendous debt. And the problem is they keep borrowing money so they can send money to other nations. I mean, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to any of us. It's like you kept borrowing money to give to your neighbors. Yes, your neighbors might be hurting. They might need some help. But you just keep borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. And one of these days, the debt's going to come due. And you're going to have no way of paying it back. And so, we bear the burdens of others. I mean, we share in these burdens. That's what we're supposed to do as a family. We are one with each other. We are both members together with Christ as head, and we are his body. You know, Romans chapter 12, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Both talk about this body has many members, but yet it's just a single body. And so we both bear the burdens of others as well as bearing our own individual burdens. So yes, I mean, we have to share this. How are we going to do that if we don't share what our burdens are? See, a lot of times we keep everything inside. We keep it bottled up. And you know what happens when you keep something bottled up and you don't let it release, someday it's just going to explode. And that's what happens to a lot of people. They have so many things bottled up inside, and they're trying to keep control of it, but then one day something's going to happen and boom, explosion takes place. And they lash out at somebody, say things they shouldn't be saying, or start thinking things they shouldn't be thinking. So we know that can happen. So the best way to do that is to share our burdens. That means we have to spend time with each other to get to know each other. And that is important. See, every Christian has a responsibility toward meeting the needs of the other brethren. We've talked about that countless times. I mean, when we did our series on others, I mean, we have that responsibility to meet the other person's needs, whatever it might be, as long as we know it. I mean, if we don't ever know it, how can we help someone? Why would we even pray for somebody unless we know they need our prayers? So we have to get this stuff out there and maybe swallow a little pride and, you know, folks, I'm having problems. I'm having issues. Doesn't mean you have to go into detail and say, now, I did this or this, or the bank is telling me this or that. Doesn't mean you have to go into details. It just means I need prayers. And who doesn't need the prayers of the brethren? I mean, we all need those prayers. See, before I can help others, I must first be certain that I am spiritual myself. If I'm going to try and help someone in spiritual matters, first of all, I've got to have my house clean. I've got to have my life right before God. And then, when I'm right with God, that means I'm allowed to pray to God. So if I'm going to pray for someone else, I've got to get myself, make sure it's in a right relationship with God. And so 1 Corinthians 3:1, Paul was making this point, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for ye were not yet able to bear it. Nay, not even now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you jealousy and strife, and ye are not are ye not carnal, and do ye not walk after the manner of men? If we walk around like people of the world, I mean, let's face it, what are people of the world like? Well, we see enough of it. I mean, they're angry, they're bitter, they're mean-spirited, they're self-absorbed, and things like that. And when that happens, if we're like that, we're not able to handle even things as simple as listening to a sermon and absorbing it and making it a part of our lives. We're not even able to do that. We're just mad at the world, and the world is mad at us, and the world isn't treating us right, and that's all we seem to care about. Nobody likes me. Nobody cares about me. Nope, and all this. And we're so self-absorbed, we can't even think spiritual thoughts. And that's what their problem was. You know, the idea of thinking, you know, like we said in our first text, see, if any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things which I write unto you, that they are the commandment of the Lord. And so he addresses several issues. Paul is doing that with these people. And there's some people claiming to be spiritual, and there's some people claiming to be followers of God, but yet they're not. And what Paul is telling them, hey, what I'm teaching is the commandment of the Lord. Because Paul had the apostleship, he had the authority to do so. See, we must have a genuine concern for the brother who is in need of spiritual help. And let's face it, if you don't have a concern for somebody, you're not going to go out of your way to help them. I mean, it's just that plain and simple. I mean, you have to have concern. It's just like Jesus had compassion on the lost. You know, when he saw the sheep out there, sheep without a shepherd, Jesus had compassion on them because they were going around blindly without any sort of leadership. And he had compassion, and he wanted to seek to alleviate that problem. So we need to have a genuine concern for our brothers and sisters who need spiritual help. See, in James 5:19 says, my brethren, if any among you err from the truth and one convert him, Let him know that he who converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. And then Romans 15, 1 through 3. Now we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for that which is good unto edifying. For Christ also pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell upon me. All right, what's this saying? We got to please our neighbor, just not to, so we can say, well, I did this for my neighbor. I did that for my neighbor. Look at me, folks, what I have done. It's like those pictures we see on Facebook where somebody's about to drop some money into the hat and they're taking a picture. Hey, I'm helping this poor person. I mean, they're glorifying themselves. No. We're not here to glorify ourselves by saying, well, I help brother so-and-so, I help sister so-and-so, or something like that. It's not for that purpose. But notice, we're to please his neighbor for that which is good unto edifying. So, what is edifying? That's building up in the faith. So that's what we need to be doing. See, Matthew 7:12. Jesus said, all things therefore, whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, even so do ye also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. I mean, this is the command of God. That's what he's saying. This is God's plan. We're supposed to look out for each other and help each other. And so even Paul said, and especially those who are of the faith. All right, now, question is, do we truly care for those who are weak in knowledge and usefulness to the Lord? Do we really? Well, we should. We know that. And yes, we can be concerned. Chances are, we express that concern, they just might get upset. You don't think I'm a faithful Christian? What's your problem? I mean, we're going to catch something like that. And so, so be it. But let people know that if people are always harping on them about, or what they consider harping on them about, their attendance or their faithfulness or their behavior, it's not because we're picking on them, but because we love them. We care about their soul. And so that is so important. We have so much we have to offer from this congregation, and a lot of people don't take advantage of it. We offer the Bible classes where we learn more about serving God and how to please Him, and that should be something we should all be trying to learn. Some people don't take advantage of that, and as a result, they are weak. See Romans 14:1, but him that is weak in faith receive ye, yet not for the decision of scruples. Whoever is weak, you work with him. Yes, accept them and work with them. That's what you need to do. See, in Acts 20, verses 35, Paul said, in all things I gave you an example that so laboring ye ought to help the weak. And to remember the word of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So this was when Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders there. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:14 and 15 says, and we exhort you, brethren, admonish the disorderly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be long-suffering toward all. See that none render unto anyone evil for evil, but always follow after that which is good, one toward another, and toward all. So that's what we should be doing. See, the needs and welfare of others must always take priority over self. You know, a lot of people are selfish. They take care of themselves. And then if there's anything left, they might give a little bit to God. They might help somebody else. But for most people, it's always self. It's always number one for most people. And when you can actually put others' needs ahead of your own, then you're where you're supposed to be. See, in Philippians 2, beginning verse 2, said, make full my joy that ye be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting other better than himself, not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. In Romans 12, in verse 9 and 10, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned one to another. In honor, preferring one another. Then 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and truth. I mean, put your actions where your mouth is. That's another way of saying it. See, prevention is usually always easier than and far better than having to be involved in restoring one who has fallen away. When one is weak, they have the temptation, they have to fight temptation, they have the problems with the world, and they have a lot of situations that get in there and kind of distract them, and they can actually fall away. If we can prevent that from happening by encouraging and building up, then they're going to be a lot stronger and able to handle what comes their way. And if nobody works with them, they're all on their own, and chances are they're just going to give in and say, what's the use? What's the use in going to church? Everybody's just going to pick on me. My family at home is going to make fun of me for going to church and stuff like that. And my neighbors don't care if I go to church or not. Nobody cares if I go, and they're just going to give up. It's harder to restore someone than to prevent them from falling away. And that's what we need to work on. We who are faithful, we've still got to work on making sure we stay faithful and we don't have getting to a point where we lose our faith. We don't want that to happen. See, in Hebrews 5, these people had kind of gone lax. He says, of whom we have many things to say and hard of interpretation, seeing you're become dull of hearing. For when by reason of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not solid food. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So it takes that experience and that willingness and that study. So are we reaching out to teach, encourage, and extend care to babes in Christ? You know, this has been an issue in the church for many years. A lot of people concentrate upon getting someone baptized, then after that, they're on their own. And we lose a lot that way. The church loses a lot of members because someone is not reinforcing them what they need. They're not offering classes for them and things like that. And so we need to be able to reach out. Somebody needs to do that when we have new converts and say, okay, now let's teach. You decided you wanted to accept Jesus. You want to live for Jesus. Let's learn how to do that. A lot of times they get people to the point of baptism and, okay, they're on their own. And that's why our churches are not growing like they should. See, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. And that's right, the milk of the word which is able to save your souls. That's the New American Standard reading. All right, 1 Corinthians 10:24. Let no man seek his own, but each his neighbor's good. And jump down to verse 32. Give no occasions of stumbling either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Even as I also please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of the many, that they may be saved. See, Paul wasn't in it for the glory. He was in it to give glory to God and cause others to give glory to God. And so that's why he did it. But we have to ask ourselves, do we even care about anyone else? Some people, by their behavior and their actions, you're basically telling us a big, loud, screaming, no, I don't care about you. We don't need that to happen. We need to change that. See, it's not difficult to ignore or ridicule or even make fun of those who are weak and careless in their faithfulness. Yeah, sometimes the spiritual ones, the faithful ones, are going to make comments about those who don't really seem to be as faithful, those who get involved in worldly things. You know, they post their pictures on Facebook, and you're looking at them, here they have one of these mixed drinks up there. I mean, alcoholic beverages in public. I mean, that's not good. I mean, Christians should not allow themselves to be seen in that light. Christians need to always be projecting themselves as a child of God, as a servant of God. And getting involved in worldly things does not accomplish that. See, it takes a great deal of spiritual strength, dedication, and a conscience-driven motivation to reach out to those who greatly need our interest, time, and genuine expressions of concern for their welfare. We're concerned about it. I mean, we bring it up every now and then. And so, anyway, you might think, well, that's the preacher's picking on me or something. Well, I love you. I care about you. So that's why I'm doing it. See, 1 Corinthians 9:22. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I am become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. And I do all things for the gospel's sake, that I may be a joint partaker thereof. Now, Paul didn't say, to the sinner, I became a sinner. No, he did not do that. He drew the line where he was supposed to be. So, he wants to help people. And you can only do that if you have common interest, if you have common things. You know, Russell and Al both work on cars so that they have something in common. And I and Ray have a lot of discussions. And so we have that. But we need to find out what things we have in common so we can have that ground to work with. But more importantly, you're a Christian. The person sitting on the seat next to you is a Christian. The person in front of you is a Christian. The person in back of you is a Christian. Unless you're in the front or the back, then that may not apply to you. But still, I mean, let's face it. We are here. We're part of each other. And we need to treat each other that way. Do I think of myself as being better than the one whose burden I have the responsibility to bear? See, here's a problem that we get into. We think, I'm too good for that. I don't need to do that. And I don't want to bear the responsibility of bearing someone's burden. That's not me. Now, how many of you can say that? Well, probably several of you can say that. Because you don't ever do anything to help others. See, Romans 12, the exhortation is given, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned one to another, in honor preferring one another, in diligence, not slothful, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, communicating to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Set not your mind on high things, but condescend to things that are lowly. Be not wise in your own conceits or your own estimation. Now, I'll tell you what, you keep reading verses 9 through 16 here over and over, you will know your duty to each other. Because that's who Paul was writing to. He was writing to the Christians at Rome. He says, this is who you are. I mean, that's a whole sermon in itself if you want it to be. See, one's attitude of elevated self-worth is the reason given in this text as to why we must accept responsibility for our own self. You know, sometimes it is. See, he says, for if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let each man prove his own work, and then shall he have his glorying in regard of himself alone and not of his neighbor. And some people, like I say, some people do it to get glorified. That's not our purpose. We should not be doing that. See, in Romans, once again, Romans 12, 3, for I say through the grace that was given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think as to think soberly according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. Each person has a measure of faith. Some have a strong measure of faith. Some have a weak measure of faith. But you know what? They're still brethren. They're still your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we just need to be patient with them and work with them if we're trying to increase someone's spirituality and their effectiveness as a Christian. In Luke 9:23, and he said unto all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life shall lose it, but whoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. I mean, Jesus said, we have to deny ourselves. It's not about me anymore. I mean, our relationship as Christians is not about me. It's about him. And it's about the whole congregation. That's what it's all about. And we need to look at it that way, with that type of attitude. And when we shun ourselves from meeting with others and talking to others, we isolate ourselves, and all we have is the worldly influence on us. How strong are we going to become if that's all we ever have? See, in Luke 18, beginning verse 9, he spoke also this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. All right, that's what we're talking about. And he set all others at naught. Said, two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I get. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be thou merciful to me, a sinner. I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And when is that going to happen? When we hear those words from God, enter thou in, good and faithful servant. Then we will be exalted as Jesus is. But not until then. Until then, we have to live a life in humility. And that doesn't mean weakness. It just means strength under control. All right. Every man is responsible for his own spiritual condition. That's true. And each man will answer for himself in the judgment. We're not going to show up as a congregation standing there at the pearly gates or at the judgment seat of Christ. No, what's going to happen? We're warned, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. That's where we need to put our focus. You know, Romans 14, 12. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. We're going to stand up there. And you think about it, I mean, the Hebrew writer said, we're going to stand up there naked and bare. I mean, the thought kind of terrifies us because we don't like being out in public and being naked in public. But by then, we won't have any physical attributes. We'll be spirits. So you don't have to worry about anybody seeing your body. So anyway, we're going to give an account of ourselves to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. See, we're all going to appear before Christ, and we're going to give that account. And he's going to judge us based on what we did as we lived, our everyday life, if it's good or bad. And of course, our judgment will be based upon whether it was good or bad. See, the key to bearing all burdens is faithfulness. We all need that. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we don't give up, we're going to reap joy. We're going to have blessings. And we should have blessings. When we do something for someone else, we feel good about it. We're glad we're able to do that. And so, 1 Corinthians 15:57, Paul wrote, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So Christ gives us the victory. We have that victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, if we have that victory, then we need to be faithful. We need to be strong and faithful in serving God the way we should. See, our responsibility to bear burdens demands that we be active and obedient servants, meeting the spiritual needs of ourselves and others. And yes, we need to meet those spiritual needs in any way that we can. Galatians 6:10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men, and especially toward them that are of the household of faith. Yes, we have a duty to all men, to everybody. That duty is to introduce them to Jesus, to introduce them to the church, and encourage them to start seeking the Lord. That is our duty to all men. But for those who have already done that, we even have a greater responsibility to look out for each other. And that's what we're supposed to do. See, Ephesians 4:14, that we may be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. We're all supposed to grow up into Christ, and that means we're supposed to grow. You know, 2 Peter 3:18, that grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That is a command, folks. Growth is a command. Now, if you sit down and ask someone to make a list of what saves you, you can probably hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, live faithful. But you know what? Growth is a command. And if you don't grow, you're not going to go to heaven. I mean, so, yes, we need to grow and help each other to grow. See, the support and teaching of God's word must be our constant priority, and our hearts must be set on spiritual and heavenly pursuits. Yes, it ought to be a priority. That doesn't mean we can't have our barbecues and have get-togethers and have meals together. That doesn't mean that. What it means is it's all got to be in the context, are we struggling to please God? That's what it comes down to. See, Galatians 6:6, but let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Yes, we need to communicate. We need to share. That's what communication is. It's a sharing of ideas, a sharing of thoughts. And communication involves not only one speaking, but then one listening. And then the one speaking listens to see if you understand. I mean, so that's what we need to find out. That's why we need communication. It's very important. See, in Colossians 3:1, if then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also be with him manifested in glory. See, Hebrews 3, beginning verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we are become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, firm unto the end. While it is said, today if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. So yes, we do have a responsibility to look out and help others with their burdens. In turn, they will help us with our burdens. And yes, we do have that responsibility. We must not forget the responsibility to ourselves. We've got to pay attention to ourselves. Paul told the Philippians, work out your own salvation. I mean, it still comes down to it. You are responsible for your soul. I mean, others can guide you. Others can teach you. But it still comes down to the fact that you are responsible for your own soul. And if you want your soul to be in heaven when this life is over, then you've got to buckle down and make sure you're doing what God wants you to do. I mean, it's not too hard to figure out. The question is, will you take this responsibility seriously? I mean, this is a serious matter. We're talking about souls. And we're talking about souls that, if not taken care of, will spend an eternity in torment. And yet, if we take care of them and build them up and make them strong and spiritually minded, then they have that hope of salvation, which we're all looking forward to, which we all want. But we've got to put forth the effort to do that. So think about those things. That's our lesson. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has the need to respond, to confess your sin or whatever, we're here to help you. All together, we stand and sing.